This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast in 3, 2, 1.
And welcome to episode 226 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 16th of February 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Your hosts today are Brad, myself, Andrew, Jody, Billy, Steve, and sitting in with us from San Francisco, we have Aussie and Jason. Our special guests today are Wayne Gannon and Alex Goble. Gee, there's a few people to get through today. G'day, Brad. How
are
you doing?
Hey, Andrew. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Good.
There is a packed show on today.
There sure are.
What's been going on?
Oh, not too much. Just a pretty busy week this week, actually. Had a lot of activity. Had a radio show with Sean Moffat from New York, so I had to get up at 3 a.m. local time to do that one, which was it was a lot of fun, but bit testing and a nice early start to the day.
Nice one. Good one, mate. Good on you. And we've got Steve from Chatterbox Live. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome back. Did you see Casey's video he did last week?
I didn't get to watch all of it, but I seen some of it. He didn't want to show his face either, because I noticed it was kind of
Not sure, but he did a fantastic job. Check it out.
Glad he came and filled in for me. Thanks.
He did. Also, Jody. Hey, Jody.
Hey, hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. Very well, thanks. Good. And also, we have got Alex Goble on.
Howdy.
Howdy, mate. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, mate. Good to have you on. Also, we have Ozzy on. Hey, Ozzy.
Hi.
Are you well today? Are you well today?
I am well. It's Friday, so I'm quite well.
Good stuff. Who else we got on? Billy. Hey, Billy.
Greetings.
Greetings, mate. What's new with you?
It's been a heck of a week. We had the president talking, and then of course, the asteroid and the meteor today.
Yes.
So, I heard about craziness. That.
That's crazy. Who else we have on, Andrew?
We've got Wayne on the show
Wayne,
as well.
Oh, Wayne, that's it. Wayne. Wayne, welcome, mate.
Hello, how are you all?
I'm well, mate.
I'm better than Aussie because it's Saturday here.
Yep. Yep. And I hope you give us some good tips, mate, for the horse racing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to pass it on to my dad because he bets a lot, so he hasn't been winning any. No, he hasn't.
We'll have to change that.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. So let's get into some news, Billy, and then we'll jump over to Wayne.
Okay, so these are your tech headlines. Now, while we all knew we were safe from the asteroid dubbed 2012's DA-14's near-Earth flyby, a surprise twist in Earthlings were shocked when a meteor ripped across the sky in Russia today. As many as 1,000 people say they were hurt by glass that was shattered from the sonic wave created by the explosion of the 11-ton meteor. Afterwards, large holes were found in ice in the ices of frozen lakes, and a huge section of a roof at a zinc factory had collapsed. And in science fiction related news, in the latest, if true, is according to Latino Review, Harrison Ford will officially return to play Han Solo in the upcoming Star Wars movie. Meanwhile, Microsoft is planning to force existing Windows Live Messenger users to upgrade to Skype starting April 8th. In an effort to phase out its Messenger service, Windows Live Messenger clients will be restricted from signing into the service. In other Microsoft news, when it comes to the Surface Pro, don't even think about taking this thing apart. iFixit counted a whole 90 screws that had to be removed to open the Surface Pro up completely, as well as a whole bunch of adhesive to boot, evidently forcing them to award the device just 1 out of 10 for repairability. In other tech news, Google is feeling left out of the whole real-world store experience, so much like Microsoft and Apple, Google is opening up their own retail space. 9 to 5 Google says that an extremely reliable source confirmed that Google will open stores in several major metropolitan areas across the United States. The stores will reportedly be used to showcase and sell the company's Nexus-branded devices as well as computers running Chrome OS. And a new version of Google Search for Android has been released. According to the app's changelog, the update includes movie ratings from Rotten Tomatoes. It'll also provide real estate listings from Zillow for users who are looking for new homes. And users that buy tickets through Fandango will now be reminded when to leave for their showing, and Google Now will provide a QR code for the tickets so they can be scanned in at the theaters. Facebook officials say that they've recently discovered that computers belonging to several of its engineers have been hijacked using a zero-day Java attack that installed a collection of previously unseen malware. In an exclusive interview with Ars Technica, company officials says that the attack did not expose customer data, and it was contained to a laptop of a small number of Facebook engineers. In Apple News, TechCrunch's M.G. Siegler reports that Apple indeed appears to be moving closer to making a major push into television, perhaps leveraging the existing iOS-based Apple TV to pursue gaming as a focus point for the initiative. Xbox founding engineer Nate Brown has noted before that he believes Apple TV could destroy the traditional console gaming business by opening up the Apple TV platform to third-party apps, and Valve founder Gabe Newell has expressed similar sentiments several weeks earlier. And a new job posting on Apple's website shows that the company is seeking a software engineer manager to help deliver the next generation of features for Apple TV. Also, Bloomberg is reporting that Apple has a team of about 100 product designers working on a wristwatch-like device that may perform some of the same computing tasks now handled by the iPhone and the iPad, two people familiar with the company's plans. And it also looks like a flaw in iOS 6 lets users bypass the iPhone's lock screen password. To bypass the lock screen password, a person has to hold the power button, initiate, and then immediately cancel an emergency call. Repeating those button presses in a particular sequence will then provide access to the iOS phone app. Once the phone app is open, users can browse contact information, check voicemail, view photos, and more. Not surprisingly, Apple spokesperson Trudy Miller said that they are aware of the issue and will deliver a fix in a future software update. And those are your tech headlines.
Well, fantastic news, Billy.
There's a hell of a lot going on this week.
Hell yeah, there is, mate. I can't wait for that Apple TV update. Some new apps coming on there, hopefully, soon. Steve, what are your view on them stories so far, mate?
There's so many. I know there's been a rumor of the television itself, but I think Apple just going to come up with a new
newer version of Apple TV.
TV console or something. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I have been up with some of the news where they're going to possibly open up the Apple TV to third-party developers. Yep. So, obviously, the gaming could potentially bypass, Xbox or some other consoles, maybe.
For sure, Mike.
Got a lot to do with the success that they have from their apps through iTunes Store. They realize that if they open up API for their iOS, which they have, all of a sudden apps come and it starts to introduce the platform. So I think they're going to try and repeat that success for their Apple TV.
Alex, do you have any views on them stories, mate? At all?
Yeah, the Apple TV thing in particular interests me as a console gamer.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting year for the console systems in general, with the rumored Steam Box coming out, the changes that Apple is rumored to be making with the Apple TV, as well as the new Xbox. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen there.
For sure. Ozzy, do you have any views on them stories at all?
Wait, sorry, what? Jason's here, by the way.
Oh, hi, Jason. Do you have any news? Do you have any views on them stories at all?
Sorry, Jason just walked in, so I wasn't listening for a little bit.
Yeah,
he just walked in with a violin.
I just walked in super juiced off his violin, and I just started making a commotion. I definitely got her attention away from... I'm sorry, my bad.
Hey, Billy, you can run through them again, can't you?
Sure, no problem.
No, please don't. Welcome, Jason. How are you,
mate? Think everyone's rushing in there because the Android devices are going to be coming? Because, Ouya is supposed to be coming out next month. Game on a Stick is going to be coming out. And those are all like Android versions of an Apple TV as far as gaming focus, though.
I'm not really into Android. Jason, do you like Android?
I don't know much about Android. what I do like about Android is it's not as restricted as Apple.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can still jailbreak your iPhone and stuff, but I think Android's a bit better.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, I don't like Apple because it's easier. The more I learn about computers and how they work, I definitely want, I'm thinking about Android a little more because it's just, like, less restrictive. And I know with an Apple phone, if you jailbreak it, I mean, I don't know much about it, but I heard it messes it up, like, in terms of you can't update it, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
It's, I definitely like the freedom of, like, Android over the Apple.
All right. What about you, Wayne? You got any views on them stories, mate?
But I'm flat out keeping up with anything. I'm right. The old generation, and
it's good they're using technology, like, man. It's good on you. I'm happy for you. I'm happy you're using technology.
Seems like every week, you know, you just get used to something. Yeah. Something else comes out. So.
Definitely, for sure, for sure. Jody, you have any views on them stories?
Yeah, several.
Go ahead.
For one, I was going to say, Apple seems to be kind of struggling. I have the 4S. I didn't upgrade to the 5, and they recently pushed out an update to the iOS 6, I think it's called 6.11, that is supposed to enhance the battery life. I don't know about you guys, but I find that the battery does not last at all, even with the 6.11. So they are rumored to be trying to work on some kind of a solution. And, you know, I don't know how much of it is due to Android competition or just some inherent flaw.
Yeah,
I don't know if you
definitely.
Guys... Have you experienced any of that? Or
no, I haven't. My phone's been good. But at you, Andrew, how's your phone been?
Yeah, my phone's been pretty good, but I try and keep a lot of the GPS services off as much as possible. Like Highlight's the only one that I'll sort of switch on, and only when I'm somewhere where I think I'm going to run into anybody. But I tend not to try and upgrade all the time. If it's working well for me today, then I try and leave it sort of to run, even if they tell me it's going to be so much better. I sort of just leave it.
Well, you don't update to the newest iOS?
Look, sometimes I did iOS 6, even though the Apple Maps, we won't go into that, but, the updates after that, unless there's a serious flaw, which there is, as was just discussed in the news, in the security, I tend not to just sort of update when the latest, you know, update is there because I think it can all get a bit silly after a while, you know, with all of those sorts of updates and things like that happening.
All right. Has Ozzy, your old Jason, have your phones been okay with the newest update?
I have the iPhone 4S, and I didn't upgrade it. I definitely saw there was it popped up on my phone to upgrade, but I didn't because, again, I don't know your name, but somebody else said as soon as the 5
JD
came
names.
Out, it seemed to just not be as good. I mean, I guess that's what you use it for, but the 4S just seems to be better, and then with that, I just didn't want to upgrade because, like what the other guy said, is like, It seems to be working. Why should I update it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it seems like Apple is struggling to want to make a better product, but it hasn't. The previous product is better.
Yep.
So I haven't updated.
All right. What about you, Jody? Ozzy, have you had any battery life problems or at all? Or?
I haven't upgraded either.
Oh, you haven't either. Okay, fair enough. That's cool.
Yeah, I tend to jump on them as soon as they come out because I always figure if there's a security flaw, it makes sense to move to the newest.
Yeah, definitely. All right.
One other thing I wanted to bring up quickly, if I could.
Go ahead.
We talked a little bit about the Meteor. And for those of you who were up early in the United States, I think it was, around 5 in the morning when they were starting to report about this Meteor in Russia. And apparently Google had a Google Doodle that was commemorating the 2012 Meteor that has not yet come close to the Earth. It's supposed to be streaming this way and arriving shortly. But when they heard about all of the injuries and casualties that were happening in Russia, they pulled the Google Doodle. So I know I posted it in the show notes for those of you. Did anybody get to see that before they pulled it?
You showed me in the Hangout before.
Nope.
Yeah.
I just saw the link at the start of the show when I watched it. But the asteroid did pass us already.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's on its way my understanding.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because I was streaming it live, but at the same time, so much was going on that I was trying to catch up on all the Meteor coverage. I think I missed it, actually, when I was watching the live NASA feed, because then they're looping it back, and I'm like, oh, darn. So.
All right.
Cool.
I just want to weigh in quickly, too, on the Google stores. I've actually got a feeling that has a lot to do with the Google Project Glass that'll be coming out late this year to developers and in the next, 12, 24 months to consumers. I think everyone's kind of got this thing about they know this Google Glass is happening, but it's probably one of those things until you actually touch it, feel it, see it, hear it, smell it, you don't get your head around it. So I've got a feeling that probably has a whole lot to do with them trying to showcase that, have people walking off the street and actually see and go, wow, you know, I can see myself sort of using that. And I think all of this sort of push toward Android and push toward Google, you know, 2 years ago, I'm an Apple fanboy. I didn't want to hear anything about it. But now with Google Glass fast approaching, I've really got to start considering that Android platform.
Yep, for sure, definitely. All right, Andrew, Wayne's on today, and
absolutely.
So is Alex Gable.
We'll introduce Wayne. Wayne is a bookmaker from St. George in Queensland originally, so he's going to have a talk to us a bit about bookmaking. We've also got Alex Scoble. Is that right, Brad?
That's great. Alex Scoble, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on, mate. Appreciate your time. And so, Wayne, how are you? Welcome.
Good, Brad.
All right, so, Wayne, what do you do with the horse racing in that, mate?
Mate, I've
technology-wise,
done a lot of things in horse racing from owning them.
Yep.
I've been a bookmaker at the races to our American friends. Bookmakers where we take bets off the punters who bet with us, and we've got a we face the liability of paying out if it happens to win. But the idea of a bookmaker is not to give too much away, and at the end of the day, to win a lot more money than what bets come in. So I've been doing that for 32 years. I've been lucky. I've been very successful at it. Racing horses is my passion and has been for a long, long time. I've been very lucky to own some good horses.
Good on you.
Probably not as good as to the American people. We've got a horse over here called Black Caviar, who's probably the greatest horse I've ever seen, and she's a freak. She's one in a billion, a bit like to America when they had the great man of war and Secretariat. So she's in that mold, you know. But she's created enormous interest.
She's won a few races in a row, hasn't she? How many she put up in a row there, Wayne?
She's unbeaten at 22 today. She's unbeaten 22 in a row. She's going for 23 today.
Wow.
It's just impossible to really believe in any sport, would not be racing or anything, that anyone could go that long without losing.
Unbelievable.
I believe last year they took her over to England and pitched her up against the supposed world's best sprinter. Did she win that one?
Yeah, she was lucky enough to win. A very close friend of mine who is a horse chiropractor, he's looked after her ever since she was a baby, so to speak, And he sensed something wasn't right on the day, but he couldn't put his finger on. She just wasn't a normal, lively self. Mm. But despite all that, she was still great enough to overcome that. And unbelievable, because from there, the Pommies have embraced her so much that they badly wanted to go back to England. But I don't think that'll be possible. She went over there for a one-off, and she was, even though she was sick, she's still good enough to win.
So, Wayne, you said you own horses. Is that correct? You've owned
yes.
How many have you owned?
Normally, I have two or three. I race at the one time.
Okay.
I'm lucky enough to have a horse that in the last 6 months has won $190,000 in prize money every year.
Good on you.
Yeah, so I've had horses that have won me over $250,000 individually. So I've raced a few. I do put a lot of effort in. I just don't go for anything. I get a lot of offers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even as late as 2 hours ago, I got offered to buy two horses. I declined. I'm very choosy.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, that's why I'm a survivor and still in it.
Good on you.
It's a busy
Aussie
day for you Saturday, isn't
it? It is very busy day.
Day one,
yes.
So
it is very busy day.
On the show.
I am a professional punter, so Saturday's a big day. Leading up to a Saturday, I've probably done 15 to 20 hours of work.
Wow.
I pay a bloke to look at all the videos of all the horses. He has a look at all that. I get downloaded each week. I get every horse race in the whole of Australia. So
unbelievable, mate. It's a big job.
Yeah, it's a mammoth job, but if you get it right, the rewards are good.
Yep.
But there's a lot of work. It's like everything.
Yep.
The old saying, the harder you work, you're lucky you get.
Definitely, definitely. I want to, Aussie or Jason, have you got a question for Wayne? I've been quite interested to know if you've got a question for him. But
Nope, sounds good.
No, I do not. I gotta... just throwing everything.
Go ahead, Jason. What are you going to say?
Oh.
No, I don't. I'm just absorbing everything as of right now.
Absorbing and listening.
Good stuff, good stuff. Steve, got a question?
Yeah, actually, it's a question from the chat room. Do you have anything like the Triple Crown in Australia or something similar?
We've got something similar in that we've got a race over here called a Cox Plate that's worth $2 million. And then we back it up with what we call the Caulfield Cup, and it's worth $1.5 million. And then the Melbourne Cup, of course, is the richest race in the world at between $6 to $8 million. It's a lot of money. I don't think there's patriotic to Australia, but there's probably not a race in the world that comes near the Melbourne Cup.
Mm.
We've got a saying over here: it's a race that stops a nation. That is very true. Mm. You will find shops all over Australia come 20 to 3 on the first Tuesday in November, where the whole of Australia virtually comes to a stop and just to listen to the race.
Yep. Even in America, people watch it as well.
Yeah, have the American guys heard of the Melbourne Cup and seen it, or is that something new to you?
Aussie, or it's new to you, JD? What about you, JD? Have you seen it?
I've never ever heard of the Melbourne Cup. It sounds interesting. So, like, everybody just kind of stops, and it's that big of a thing. Like, how much, like, what do people wager on it? Is it, like, really, really big, a betting?
Exceptionally. Why is exceptionally big. The money generated out of this race, for every facet, the amount of money that's pumped through the channels of gambling throughout Australia is massive. I know of one particular corporate bookie who won $7.3 million on the race last year.
Jeez,
the race fell their way. You got to experience it. And to Americans and that who ever come to Australia and they ever see it, it's more than just a horse race. You got the leading fashion people of the world.
Is it
guest
probably like their Super Bowl?
Yes, it would. You could nearly.
Or the Kentucky Derby over there.
Yeah, it's bigger. Without going overboard, I got no doubt it's far bigger than the Kentucky Derby. I've talked to Americans and British people, etc., in the past, and they've actually witnessed it. They've said they've never seen anything like it. You got to witness it to see it, or any part of it, you know.
Well, there you go. That's a great postcard for Melbourne there. Just
for
a
sure.
quick question for you, Wayne. How has technology sort of changed?
Yep.
Yeah, how does technology, mate? Just broke up.
Yeah,
we lost.
How does technology work for you, Wayne? What sort of technology do you use for what you do?
It's been major. Like at the moment, every Saturday, I suppose, being a professional punter, I got many, many friends who ring me up and want tips, and it was virtually driving me insane because I don't like saying no. Probably too kind to people to say no, but through Zarfo, each week now, what I do, I broadcast on Zarfo, and that goes out to everyone, and we get anything from, 30 to 60 people tune in most weeks. Yeah, so that frees me up a hell of a lot. I think Zarfo's been the greatest thing that's come along to me. And considering I've never even promoted it in any way, and it's grown to that already, and when I had a glitch through my mistake and not everyone else, I've been swamped with phone calls in the last half hour. They haven't got it because I hit the wrong button. But it has a real following. It's taken a lot of pressure off me. For that reason, I'm right into broadcasting where I wasn't before.
Mm-hmm. All right. Has Alex, you got any questions for Wayne?
Not really. It's, all right. Sounds pretty interesting.
It does. It does. It does indeed. Jody, any questions for Wayne? Because we need to move on. Yeah, any questions? Jody?
No, I just was curious whether these are regular thoroughbreds or pacers or trotters.
Thoroughbreds, Jody.
Okay.
Good wonderful stuff. Animal.
Okay. Who just sent me a message on Facebook? Okay, let's go to this race call then, Wayne. And you stole me.
You got a bit of a quick surprise for us there, Wayne.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just to give you a bit of a thing, I've also in my past life been a race caller. We have Melbourne Cup functions here each year, of which I'm well paid to go and run the function. And I do what we call a phantom race call. It's a mock-up call of the horses in the Melbourne Cup. It generates a lot of fun. And I've been doing it for many, many years. Doesn't matter how much I put the price up, they still want me to go and do it. So it is a lot of fun. I've seen a bit of fun. So we thought we'd throw a bit of fun into this show today. And this is how we're going to do this. So sit back and enjoy or criticise or whatever. But this is how it'll go. And we've called it the podcast stakes. Here it is. Ready to go. Ready and racing. Aussie began very quickly with Brian. Jody fast out going forward. Andrew was out wide on the track going forward with Bev. Brad is drifting back early, followed by Jacob. Steve is second last and Billy drops to the rear. Jody goes to the front at the first turn, leads a length in front of Brian. Three quarters of a length back, the third is Aussie. Andrew is running fourth on the inside of Bev. Then came Brad three wide going forward around Jacob. Steve and Billy up towards the home turn and Jody leads away. Aussie popped off the fence and quickly went up and joined Jody. Brian is running third, followed by Andrew. Brad down the outside with Bev. And here comes Billy and Jacob and Steve are running on inside the final better. Jody has fought off and headed off Aussie again. Andrew and here's Brad on the outside. Andrew and Brad are going after Jody. Jody, Andrew and Brad stride for stride. Brad, Jody and Andrew in the centre. They split it. Oh, dead eight. Can't pick it. Brad or Andrew. Jody close up third, followed by Aussie. Brian, Bev well back. Jacob second last. Billy and Steve's last photo.
Well, that was awesome. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, wow. I get some.
That is fantastic.
Well done for the photo line. Finish.
Find that Brad has got up on the line to beat Andrew. Ooh. And Jody are close up third.
You got me in the photo, Brad. Nicely done.
Yes, wow,
nicely
I'm dead done. Last. Oh.
There's well, something Steve. With a difference.
I think, oh, well. Steve, you need a new horse.
There you go. You don't know what you're going to get on Tech Webcast, and today we got a race call.
We did indeed, mate. Thanks so much, Wayne. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks very much for being on the show. And Brad, we've got Alex Scoble in the house.
We do indeed. Welcome, Alex Scoble.
Hey, how's it going?
Mate, were you amazed by that race call?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
All right, tell us about what you do. You have a blog and stuff?
Yeah, I have a blog, but my day job is basically as a cybersecurity analyst for a company that handles power transmission.
Okay.
Actually, it's a government organization that handles power transmission for most of the Pacific Northwest here in the United States.
Wow. All right. Andrew, questions for Alex? That's amazing.
How does, I don't want to be too bland, but how does technology really help what you're doing, and how has that assisted in the last sort of 5 or 10 years? And is there any particular sort of equipment that you use in there that you want to sort of talk about?
Well, as far as the energy management space, technology is basically, without it, you wouldn't be able to manage the grid. Mm-hmm. As for computer security, I think the big thing that we're starting to see or have seen over the last few years is the real move towards big data with log aggregation systems like Splunk, and also I think we're seeing a broader move towards Linux. Windows just cannot keep up in the enterprise space. In particular, they're getting killed on the patch management front, and I say that because one of the major jobs that I do is patch management for our Windows infrastructure, and it's just it's not very sustainable how Microsoft has patch management in Windows.
Yeah, I've been doing software as a service and things like that for decades, and yeah, the Unix and Linux systems they just have so much more ability to for uptime and scalability and so forth. So it's a no-brainer, that one, isn't it?
Yep. And another thing that's come on strong in the last 5 or so years is the notion of DevOps, the marriage between development and operations. Mm-hmm. You see this in applications like Puppet or Chef. We're starting to use Puppet to basically manage our upcoming Linux infrastructure, and okay. I think without tools like that, you wouldn't be able to manage a enterprise and keep it secure and keep it in a known state.
All right. Okay. Any questions, Steve, for Alex?
Actually, I do. Considering you're more into security, is the danger really that bad with, you know, power distribution? Because it sounds like, you know, hackers could potentially take down certain substations, and have you seen that, things like that pop up? Or
we haven't seen that so much in the United States as far as somebody damaging the grid. What we've seen is attacks against various other infrastructure, like gas systems and whatnot. I do not doubt that at some point in the future, you know, attacks will be attempted against the grid, will be successful. I should say there have been attempted attacks they're going on all the time. Especially, we kind of opened the door with Stuxnet and Project Olympic Games to really, push that frontier of cyber warfare out there. We gave the rest of the world basically a blueprint on how to do a very sophisticated cyber attack. And I think we've seen Iran and China and other countries take notice, and they're definitely stepping up their game, and we're not really stepping up our defensive game.
Have you ever sat there late at night in front of the PC and just thought, I feel like switching off for grid somewhere just for fun?
Yeah, no.
That would be fun.
So, Alex, tell us about your blog. You have a blog? I've been checking out. Technology blog?
I've had a blog, itmanager.blogs.com, since, I think, 2004.
Yep.
If anybody knows my brother, he's a big blogger, and he's been blogging since 1999 or 2000, whenever blogging started. He got me into that. I originally had a blog on one of Userland servers, and that went away, and so I'm on using TypePad as my service.
Sweet.
And I've been using that for 2004. I'm pretty sporadic as a blogger. I'm nowhere near like what my brother is. Most of the time I just don't have the time for it, and sometimes it's hard to figure out what the heck you want to say to do a blog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more active on Google Plus or Facebook.
Yeah,
where you can say something really quick, and you don't really have to put in the kind of thought that goes into a blog.
All right. Any questions, Jody?
Oh yeah. I'm in New Jersey, Alex, and as you know, we had a little event that took place not that long ago called Sandy, and power was knocked out right and left. And it just seems to me that we are so susceptible to weather, particularly because the power lines, for the most part, at least in this part of the United States, are above ground. And I'm curious, some people have talked or conjectured about burying the lines, but it seems that there should be some better way in this day and age, there should be some better way to deliver power to the households and the businesses. And I'm curious what you think we're moving towards, what direction you see the power grid going towards.
Yeah, sadly, I don't think we're making a lot of progress in modernizing the grid to be more, resilient in that manner. I think that we've actually been doing a pretty poor job of maintaining the grid insofar as upgrading it to meet our demands and demands for the future. I think as we continue to see larger natural disasters like that, we're going to continue to see power being disrupted.
And I'm just not sure that a whole lot can be done without, you know, really rethinking how we do power delivery and generation.
Well, I agree with you. I just was curious whether there's any like new technologies coming down the pike for power delivery.
Yeah, I think as we move more towards distributed power generation through like solar and that sort of thing, I think that will help out. But as far as the actual transmission, I think that not a lot is going on there.
All right, Andrew, jump in, mate. Quick.
Yeah, yeah. As far as a utility, how is power different to delivering other utilities, you know, such as water and so forth? Do you guys sort of have a similar sort of architectures, or is it totally different to other utilities, water, gas, these sorts of things?
It's fairly similar, although the infrastructure part is not really my area of expertise. So I can't really, you know, talk about how, you know, water and whatnot, how we deliver those systems.
All right. Jason or Ozzy, do you have a question for Alex at all?
Nope. Well, not at all.
Are you enjoying the show so far?
It's good. Pretty cool.
All right, cool. Good stuff. All right. Steve, any questions for Alex?
Oh, I think that was it.
All right.
Joe, is there an app for that? No, I'm just kidding.
Billy, talk away, mate. I've got to ask you. Go ahead.
How do you see solar and wind being a bigger part of our future for energy? Or
yeah, that really depends upon who we continue to put into the Oval Office. I think you're going to continue to see European countries, I think, push it when they can afford it, and right now they were hit hard by the economic crisis and resulting, you know, the resulting debt crisis, which has definitely put a hamper on their deployment of alternative technologies. But we're still seeing the move towards, you know, towards these alternative energy sources. I think we don't really have much of a choice in the long run.
Mm, definitely. Alex, what sort of technology do you get into these days? What sort of things do you like to do? Use.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big gamer, as I said.
Gamer, yeah.
You know, I also use my iPhone a lot. I recently switched in December from an Android phone to an iPhone.
Oh wow!
And one of the main reasons there was, you know, Android, I think, has a pretty good ecosystem as far as choice and whatnot. The double-edged sword for that is, you know, because of the amount of fragmentation. The carriers and the hardware manufacturers just aren't able to, you know, keep their platforms up to date. And I think that's going to ultimately, you're going to start to see this tension between people who want, you know, the freedom of Android, and then they switch to Android, and you know, it might be good for a while, and then they want the you know, the lack of fragmentation, the knowledge that they're going to get updated on day one with everybody else. And you know the different apps that are there, and so you're going to see people, I think, start to like flip flop between the two ecosystems as they, you know, find fault with the bad parts of one ecosystem and you know try the grass on the other side.
Definitely. What sort of gaming do you get into? Xbox and stuff?
Yeah, I'm a big Xbox gamer. Mm. I also do. PC games, although right now I'm playing Fallout New Vegas on the Xbox as well as Borderlands 2.
Oh, nice one. Bev or Wayne, do you have any questions?
No questions. Wayne's on the phone.
Andrew left, apparently. I'm not sure where Andrew went to. He left.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, he left.
Oh, gone completely?
Yes. I'm not sure where he went. But anyway, Jody, any more questions for Alex?
No, I really appreciate your sharing your information with us, Alex,
definitely.
And look forward to hearing more about your endeavors and what's going on with the power supply. Yeah. And
definitely, do you have much to do with the power over in Australia, Alex?
No,
you don't.
At all.
Okay, sort of would ask that.
Was there anything that you wanted to plug?
Yeah, do you want to plug anything, Alex?
No, I've already basically talked about my blog. The one thing you guys were talking about, the battery life of iPhones.
Yep.
Especially 4S and whatnot. Yeah, my wife has the 4S, and the battery life, I would say, is pretty disappointing on that platform. I think definitely. The 5 is a bit better, but even there, I basically do a lot of stock trading, and so I have my phone basically on all the time, fully on, and it burns through batteries there as well pretty quickly. But I think I'm
go ahead. I'm
curious. Are you on Sprint?
Yes, I am actually.
Because see, that's what I'm noticing too. I'm on Sprint, and when I try and access the internet a lot on my iPhone 4S, that's when my battery drains. If I use the phone just like as a phone or hardly use it, it's fine. It sustains. But I think it has something to do with the Sprint internet connection, because I also have an iPad mini, and it has no issues with the battery life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my iPad runs really well.
Yeah, I definitely would say that Sprint as a network is not the greatest. Unfortunately, their plans are how we say financially
right.
they financially make sense, but operationally they definitely leave something to desire.
Definitely. So Alex, you have the iPhone 5?
Yes.
Do you like it?
Oh yeah.
Cool. What about 4G? How's it 4G in your area? Is it good?
No. It's they're starting to turn it up. Yeah, for the most part I never get any 4G access.
Okay. All right.
You didn't ask me about my 4G battery life, which I do have the iPhone 4S, and most of the time I keep carrier data turned off and wireless. So usually my battery life is quite good. Normal. Mm-hmm. I don't have any. My battery lasts, quite a while.
All right. Okay. Ozzy has to go. Ozzy, thanks for being on, and Jason, thanks for being on, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks for hanging out.
That's cool. Thanks, mate. Thanks for being on. Thanks, Jason. Steve, want to wrap up now? What do you want to say before we go? Or?
Watch me here on Justin TV / Linus Cool Dude, and you can find me on Twitter on Chatterbox_Live.
All right, and me at Brad Ozzy Tech Webcast. Jody, what's your info?
You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept. My website is webmarcom.net, and all the usual places as either Jody Rains or webmarcom.
And Alex, where can they get you on Twitter, mate? You on Twitter?
Yeah, I think I'm at IT Blogger.
All right, cool. All right, people can follow you on there. Bev?
Yeah.
Are you on Twitter?
I only just got on Twitter last week, so I'm not, as you know, I'm actually looking for a book called Twitters for Dummies, because that's me. it's interesting.
What do you need? What do you need help with? What do you need help with Twitter?
Everything.
Ask us a question and we can help you.
Oh, where do I start? There's heaps of questions. No, I'll just plug through it. And but yeah, it's really good. I've tweeted a few times.
That's good.
So the more I do it, the more I learn. But yeah, it's good.
Definitely. Yeah, are you using a Twitter app on your phone?
Yes, I am. And just one thing that you mentioned before about all the updates on the iPhones.
Yep.
I did an update on mine last week, and I discovered yesterday when I wanted to go into the App Store, it wouldn't let me in because when they updated me, they put me as a US citizen, not an Australia citizen.
Oh, wow.
So I had to go through all the rigmarole of saying, you're not United States person, so I had no access to it. It took me ages to get back the access. So that was one really big thing that I found when I updated.
What do you think happened there, Billy?
I have no idea. That's crazy that it did that. That's interesting. I never heard of that.
No, same. Me either.
Maybe it's an omen.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. I can't work that out.
You're attached to the US store and you need to change to the Australian store.
That's what you might have to do, because maybe you didn't make that as a default, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I did that already, but it took a while for me to work it out because I had to go through all the different ways of doing it, and I finally did in the end.
Wow. Oh, well, do you enjoy the iPhone, Bev?
Yep, I love it.
That's good. What, iPhone 5 or 4S?
No, I'm on the 4S.
4S, okay, good stuff. And what's your Twitter username, Bev?
I think it's @BevFairless.
Okay, cool. All right, follow her on Twitter. Billy?
You can find me at That iPad Guy at all the usual places, Twitter, Google+, Facebook, even thatipadguy.com.
All right, and Andrew's left, so can you fill in for Andrew, Bev? What's his, you know, do you know his Twitter name? I can't remember what it is. Ari from Bolzing, it is, and Zafo, something like that. Steve, where can you get on Twitter, mate?
Oh, I already did that. I'm good.
Oh, you did?
Already.
Okay. All right. Is that it? That's it, Jody? Any more words before we go?
The only other thing is if you wanted to mention Futech.
Futech? Go ahead.
Yeah, we usually do a pick of the week. And
oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I forgot. Yep, we sort of rushed. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll just do it real quick. My daughter, who is in college, tells me about this app that is all of the rage right now in the college scene. And it's called Futech, P-H-E-W-T-I-C-K. And it's an onomatopoeia for the sound of a fly going through the air from Japanese anime and then hitting a wall. So it's Futech. And basically, I know, right? Basically, it's kind of like a mindless app. It generates – well, first of all, you log in by using your Facebook credentials. And it generates a QR code or a quick response code. And what the kids do is they scan each other's code, and you're allowed to scan somebody's code up to one time an hour. And every time you scan somebody's code, you get points, which equate into dollars, which either can be cashed out or they can be donated to a charity. Mm-hmm. So what's happening on the college campus is that the kids are telling each other about it because obviously they want money. So they're running down the hallways and going, Futech me, and they get to class. The first thing they're doing is they're scanning each other's QR codes.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that the gentleman who created the company, he is Japanese, I believe, and went to school here in the States, went to Berkeley, as a matter of fact. And his vision is eventually, because he's collecting all of this data that is location-based, and let's face it, it's pretty much a very consistent demographic. And what he's doing is he's using that to sell that information to companies that perhaps will reach out, like when the kids are somewhere near a restaurant and it's near lunchtime, they can offer a special, or if they, you know, they're going to be in a certain area at a certain time, it will push something with a discount on shoes or whatever potentially they could be interested in. But I just figured I'd share it with you guys, and you know, you can check it out and see cool. What you think.
Yeah, I'll use it the other day. It's pretty good. You know, you meet up and you get money for it and stuff. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
get points for it. Whatever crazy. It's called. It's great. Yeah, Billy, do you have any apps you want to recommend?
I picked up the new Winston app, which
yes.
Siri meets Flipboard. It is awesome.
It is very awesome.
It aggregates your different news sources and Facebook and social network feeds and makes your own personalized newscast. It's very, very cool.
It is very cool. They need to improve the voice, I think.
Yeah, but I think he does a pretty good job as far as like kind of ad-libbing a bit, which is really interesting. He doesn't just like read it to you. He like kind of summarizes it, which blows my mind away.
Yeah, definitely. Alex, have you want to recommend any apps before we go?
I just want to basically put a plug in there for good old Apple Maps. I think it's gotten a bad rap at this point.
Okay.
I've been using it, you know, as my main navigation system, and it's done me pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think that they've done a good job of, you know, integrating with the Yelp data and various other bits of localized data. So, you know, you can find restaurants, whatever. That are near you, I think that does a better job than Google Maps has for me in the past.
Have you tried out Waze or the new Google Maps at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right. Cool, Az. All right. Is that it, Jody?
Yep.
That's it. Thanks for being on, Alex. Another episode down the drain. thank you to Alex Scobel and Wayne and Bev for being on.
Thank you, Brad.
And you can find Bev at Zafo.com. Is that correct, Bev?
Yes, zafo.com.
That's it. And thanks, Andrew, for coming on. You left and you didn't say bye. I'm not sure why you didn't say bye.
Yeah, he said he left you a Facebook message telling him he had you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it might have been a...
Oh, he was the one sending it to you.
Oh, okay. He said bye. Okay, bye, Andrew. Catch up with you during the week, mate. What else is there, Jay? That's it, Jady?
Yep, that's it.
Until next time. Thank you, Steve. Bring on. All right. Welcome back, by the way.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest-running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!